Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, not only will you open the door to new understandings, but you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same at a core level. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome back Tara Meyer Robson. As a former benefits executive, she worked with hospitals, corporations, and organizations of every size to create programs that increased morale, reduced costs, and helped employees become more well. In this capacity, Tara noticed that some people were successful at changing their lives, of healing their bodies using positive training programs, while others trying the exact same improvement techniques had negative patterns, bad habits, and ill health that they could not seem to alter. Determined to discover the core connection between life experiences, belief patterns, and manifested disease, Tara devoted 5 years to studying psychology, quantum physics, energetic medicine, anatomy and physiology, and philosophy. Her focus paid off. She finally made the scientific breakthrough, became the Flow Method, a remarkable transformation and healing program that works for all people everywhere. This breakthrough also became the basis for Tara's best-selling book, The Flow, 40 Days to Total Life Transformation, which has won 2 national awards. It was a finalist in Forward Magazine's Book of the Year Awards and number 4 of Soul Salon International's Top 10 Books for Awakening 2009. And if you want to find out more information about Tara, I encourage you to go to her website. It is her name, which I'm going to spell for you. It's TaraMeyerRobson.com on the World Wide Web. Tara is T-A-R-A, Meyer is M-E-Y-E-R, and Robson is just like it sounds, R-O-B-S-O-N, TaraMeyerRobson.com. And so let me welcome Tara. Tara, how are you tonight?
I'm great, David. I'm delighted to be back for sure, and delighted to, of course, reconnect with you. So.
Oh, well, it's just a joy to have you on the show. I love your spirit. Of course, you're also an empath. I didn't mention that in the introduction. But I can relate to that. Yes, yes. So anyhow, you just had a really exciting experience, and we are going to take calls. We'll try to get to all of you. And Deanna, I see you on the board, so I was having a discussion with Tara. That's why I didn't tune in to you, but I see you there. You're caller number 7. At any rate, you were telling me about this presentation that you went to, and I would love to hear more about it. It sounds like it was a very stimulating time.
It was stimulating and terrifying, honestly. And the reason it was terrifying is, honestly, I really rarely get completely, like, a little freaked. This was like, oh, boy. You know, I always encourage people to push their boundaries and do things that scare them, and I had to take a spoonful of my own medicine on that one. So basically what happened was I have a wonderful professor, actually I have several professors in various universities. This one happens to be in the University of Bucharest, Romania, and then he splits his time to the University of Barcelona. And they are, you know, real supporters of my work, so of the flow method itself, which even though I am intuitive, there is a real scientific basis for the program, obviously, I developed. So long story short, he reached out to me and said, I really think you need to present, or I think you need to put your abstract in to see if you can go and present at the Science of Consciousness conference, which is down in Tucson, Arizona. And it's been around, I guess, for about 25 years. It's run by the University of Arizona's Center for Consciousness Studies. And so it's run by like quantum physicists and these neuroscientists that are, and actually world famous philosophers that are, pondering actually what is consciousness and how do we incorporate it into our day-to-day lives. So then I had to figure out how to write a scientific abstract, which I've never done in my life. So I do that. So I sent that off to this professor for help, and he wrote me back, like edited it and honestly in words, and I finally wrote him back, and I'm like, are you coming to do this presentation? Because if you are, we can leave it like this. We can leave it. If you are not, then we need to change this because I may understand the scientific concepts, but the way that I'm going to teach is the way that I speak, and that's just the way it is. So needless to say, I sent it in as I speak. And to my great delight and terror, it was selected for a presentation. So this is my first academic presentation of my work. It's something, if anybody out there is in the academic world, they're probably familiar with something called a poster presentation. I had never heard of such a thing. And you have to create like a 3.5 foot by 7.5 foot poster that lays out the entire basically scientific process of your work and the conclusions. And it's quite an endeavor is what I have to tell you. So, yeah. So I went and did that, and it was thankfully the upside is actually I'm going to be completely honest here. So the day of my presentation, because I got there and I'm such a outgoing person that I usually easily relate to people and I usually make friends quite easily. And, you know, there were all these like professors wandering around looking very professorial and they were not necessarily, they were sort of like very cerebral and very introverted. And I was sitting there thinking, my God, because usually in these poster presentations, basically you have to defend your work. So the entire thing is designed to essentially poke holes in your work. And you know, it just feels better if you can find a few people to relate to, because you think, okay, there's a few people here that I maybe have something in common with. Oh my gosh. And I'll be completely honest. I actually called my husband the day of the presentation. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Why am I here? Oh, because I thought, oh my gosh. But long story short, it went great. And actually I had some people from some institutes around the world that are really interested in doing research studies on my work. So it went brilliantly, but it was definitely one of those things that, you know, and I encourage anybody out there that it's, you know, go ahead and do something you're really afraid of, because you know what, generally it does turn out just fine. And I knew it was going to be fine, but man, you just don't know what you're getting into in a situation like that. So, so that's what it was. It was interesting.
Well, it sounds like it was quite an experience for you. I'd like to ask you a few questions before we take calls. Number one, just for the listeners that might be interested in making a connection with you, what are the kinds of services that you provide?
Oh, yeah, sure. So there are a few things I do. One thing I do is one-on-one healing sessions. And actually, I'm glad you said that because I would have forgotten to say this. So I actually set up a coupon code for your listeners so they can get 20% off of a healing session if for instance, we can't get to a caller and they're interested in talking to me or just someone, you know, listening wants to connect. And that is David, so all in caps, David, and then 20. And they can just put that in as a coupon code and they'll get 20% off of a healing session. So that's
beautiful.
One thing I do. So when I do the healing sessions, my main focus, and I always tell people, is basically I do what I do right, what we'll be doing tonight, which is essentially we get right to business. I like to try to give people as much as possible in that period of time that I can work with them. And then we figure out what the underlying issues are, and then we go straight to solution mode and coming up with a really individualized action plan for people. Normally people need about usually one session, but if there's some sort of really critical issue, so I do a lot of work with people that are going through cancer treatment and that kind of thing, and sometimes needless to say, that needs maybe a couple more. So I do that, and then I also do, I've been teaching a class that I cannot tell you how much I love. I'm so passionate about it, but it's called Body Language, Deciphering Your Clues, so you can decipher your body's clues so that you can heal. And what I do in that class is I actually teach people to do what I do so that you can, because my big thing is that I always tell people that understanding what your body is telling you is exactly like learning a foreign language. So, you know, when we first learn a foreign language, like I can remember my freshman year in high school of my French class. And Madame Cross, so I can still tell you, she came in and she starts babbling at us in French for like what seemed like 5 minutes. I'm sure it was like a minute. And I'm sitting there and I remember actually thinking in my mind, I've made a huge mistake. What? I'm going to fail this class. You know, because you don't know what the heck the person's saying because it's a foreign language. You don't know it. But by the end of the year, she did the exact same thing at the end of the year and said the exact same thing she had said at the beginning of the year. And by God, I understood it. Understanding your body is no different. So when you understand what your body is trying to tell you, it's the same thing. Once it just the light bulb goes off. And then whenever anything pops up in your life or indeed anyone's life, and you know anyone in your circle's life, you'll immediately be able to translate it into a sentence. That you'll say, okay, here's what's going on and here's what I need to know to be able to heal. So that I'm super passionate about. The next class for that is coming up in about a month and a half. And actually that same coupon code would work for 20% off that too. I do that in person in Denver, Colorado, as well as online for people that want that, you know, aren't in Denver, obviously. So those are some of the things that I do. And of course, if anybody has any, I love to hear from people. So please just feel free to reach out. And if I can help, I do help.
Now you have a second book out too, don't you?
I am actually in the process of finishing that book up right now. And in fact, it is going to be focused on the same thing I'm teaching in the class. So I'm sort of putting all of it down into book form. And I'm actually working on a third book, which is on helping empaths. You know, highly sensitive people to be able to survive in the world. So
beautiful. Well, mm-hmm. I encourage people to go back into my archives and look under December 28th for my last show with Tara, because she did talk about her book, The Flow, and I think you would find that very interesting. So just search back to December 28th and you can find that show. And Tara, is there anything that's off limits in terms of people asking you tonight or anything that you would prefer for them to do?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I'm an absolute open book. And I also, you know, a lot of people, you know, well, everybody, you know, it's a hard thing to talk about, certainly health issues. And so I always tell people that, you know, there's no judgment. So we all get ourselves into various situations in life. We all make good decisions. We all make bad decisions. I've heard a lot of all kinds of stuff, and it's not a big deal. So anyways, to not feel nervous if there's something they need to talk about, absolutely open. So
beautiful. Well, should we go to the phone lines?
Great. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Our first caller is Michelle. And Michelle, you're live.
Awesome. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, hi, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Hi. So how does this work? You want to know what my health issues are?
Yeah, so what I usually do is I take a look at, if you just want to start telling me what's going on with your health, and then usually what happens is I'll ask a lot of questions. Sometimes they seem a little bit out there. So the way that just to give you an image, so the way that my brain works and the way that I end up sort of translating and putting these things together, is that I'm listening really closely to what you say, and I feel like each piece of information kind of goes into a little ball that's sort of rotating above my head, which I know sounds yeah. weird, but that's just the best way I can visualize it. And I'm looking for the connections between those little balls of information. So that's why sometimes I'll ask a question that seems like it's totally out of left field, that'll be from like your childhood or something. But it's because yeah. there's a piece of information that'll kind of go, hey, that we need, that little bit right there we need. So that's kind of how it works. So anyways, you go for it. You tell me what's going on with you, and let's get to the bottom of it.
Okay. So I've had an underactive thyroid for over 10 years okay. now, which can kill me because it's just fatigue and different stuff. I have a hard time sleeping.
Sure.
So, yeah, okay. and I take a handful of pills. So both those things are kind of the most crazy thing, I guess.
Okay, let me stop you for one sec. So underactive thyroid. Okay, I'm visual, so I write things down too. So underactive
yeah.
thyroid. Okay, so 10 years ago. So tell me, what kind of symptoms are you having as far as the underactive thyroid? You said sleep disorder. What's going on with that?
So I've been taking sleeping pills for probably over 5 years or more, just to help me sleep. Mm. I feel like I actually can't sleep unless I take something, which is kind of crazy.
So,
yeah.
All right, I'll stop you for one sec. So when you say you can't sleep, tell me exactly what's happening. Is it like a racing brain that's going on? Like you can't stop your mind?
Yes, a lot of that is, and then if I do get a sleep, I'm usually up 2-3 times, going to the washroom. Sometimes I wake up because I take melatonin, so just kind of like thinking there was someone at the door or just weird stuff like that.
Okay. So underactive. Okay, let's go back to this. And what other? Do you have any other symptoms around your underactive thyroid?
Well, I think adrenal fatigue.
Okay, so tell me, let's go back to that for one sec. So adrenal fatigue,
okay.
probably, I would guess, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm thinking adrenal fatigue for sure as well, but I'm kind of wondering if it's sort of a chicken or egg situation, I feel like. So it's like, did the adrenal fatigue start first and then the underactive thyroid popped up? So let's go back real quick. And what drove you to the doctor that made you get the diagnosis?
I honestly didn't have a lot of symptoms. Actually, a good friend of mine is like a medical intuitive, a Reiki master, and she said,
"Oh, great.
I think your thyroid's off." So sure enough, yep, go to the doctor, my thyroid's off. So
that's
kind
terrific.
Of the main
okay.
thing. Yeah.
Well, that's a good friend to have around. So take me back. So my immediate thing would be usually underactive thyroid. What's going on normally? When I get an underactive thyroid, the visual I get on that, quite honestly, is a military boot that is like actually stepping down on your self-expression. So your self being able to speak your mind and so forth. So, that's the image. Every time I talk to somebody with an underactive thyroid, that image shows up. So it's
yeah.
usually a stifling of your self-expression. How severe underactive did the doctor say? Like, were you like severely underactive, minorly? Where were we at on that?
Well, it got worse over the years, and then
mm-hmm.
I guess since I've been really, really trying to lose weight, even though that's extremely hard, it seems
mm-hmm.
to have improved, but it's still, I wouldn't say more moderate than low, for sure.
Okay. All right, and when you say weight, real quick, where do you tend to hold have you noticed it holding the weight in any particular area or some area that's unusual for you?
Yeah, it was always my tummy, and I actually just had a tummy tuck because I just kind of, like, yeah,
yeah,
had enough.
yep. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. I was assuming that's why. And did you probably did not necessarily carry weight on your stomach before?
No, not as much when I was younger.
Not as much, right? Okay. All right, okay. All right, so that tells me that you were feeling like something was really coming at you that you needed padding against, and perhaps you still felt like that for a little while. When I say that, what the image I get on those that kind of stuff, especially because if it's in your stomach, which is what I was guessing, the two being you're having your self-expression squashed, usually goes hand in hand with feeling like you have to protect your identity or your core, so to speak, against
yeah.
something that's coming at you. So
mm-hmm.
the image I usually get on that is if, because people get really mean at themselves about gaining weight, but truthfully, usually it's, I see a lot of people that are highly sensitive, empathic people, and they start gaining weight
yeah.
in their stomach because they have too much stuff coming at them all the time. And it's a lot like, if I told you, you had to go in, you know, in like 10 minutes, you had to go in to a fight with a heavyweight boxer like Mike Tyson, you would
yeah.
want padding, right? You're going to want padding,
yeah.
like as much padding as you can possibly, you know, scurry up. You're going to be like taking every pillow in your house and putting duct tape around your body. Like,
yeah.
you know, but, and I say that because the same thing is true when we gain weight, especially in our stomach. It's just simply padding
yeah.
from something coming at us that's quite aggressive and making us feel like we're being attacked. So those two things
yeah.
in being true, my immediate thing would be that there was something, and it would be, hang on one sec, let me look through that. That it would be, okay, so there might be a thread that was all the way from like childhood, but I would say that the main aspect of this was from about 6 months to 9 months prior to you finally going in and finding out about the underactive thyroid.
Okay,
so there would be something, someone in your life that was really making you feel like you were having all this squashed and that you had to protect yourself. That's what was going on. I don't know if that, does that make sense to you? Let's start there.
It makes sense from when I was in my 20s. I'm now in my 40s, so,
uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, my ex used to put me down a lot about my stomach, so... If that's, does that maybe make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense, but hang on a second. Okay, so it still seems like there's something else that would have been closer. The underactive, as I say, I think there's a thread maybe from, did you feel like you could express yourself well as a child? Like, were you allowed to kind of be who you are and that kind of stuff as a
No,
kid?
I was really bad at holding stuff in, and then I'd get upset because I'd hold everything in. So now, as an adult, I'm fine, but... Yes, that makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, okay. So that's the holding the stuff in. Okay. So I still feel like the ex probably was, I think, sort of a pattern, but I still feel like there would have been something in that right there. It would have been right there in that, like, 6 to 9 months prior to the underactive thyroid, I would say.
So I moved provinces and didn't know anybody. So maybe with that,
yeah, that's not helpful. That's definitely, you know, that's just an upheaval. So let's go real quick. Let's go to the ex for a second. So the ex situation. Do you feel like you've healed from that? Like, did you process it? Grieve, reclaim yourself, et cetera, out of that?
Yes, it took a long time, but yes.
Okay. I don't know.
Go
ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
A little bit of me is attached to it a bit, but it's like way better, 95% better, I'd say.
Yeah, okay. And a lot of that healing could have been happening. There still is, like, there's something right there. I feel like there's something else that was going on in that 6 to 9 months prior that was making you, it was, like, making you feel that the image I keep getting is of, like, this stifling, like, this pushing down of you, your self-expression, or something. Like, I don't know if you changed careers or...
Well, I did.
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Was the career change a good thing?
Mm-hmm. Really good thing.
Good.
But it was, like, at first I was in shock. I thought I was in the Twilight Zone, all that kind of stuff. Like, it was just...
Okay. Okay. So that could be maybe what I'm picking up there. So my immediate thing with this, especially, so it's interesting because with the sleep disorder... That's unusual because normally with the underactive thyroid, it's like you're more able to sleep. Actually, you're kind of slowed down.
I wish.
That's Yeah, right. So that's an interesting. Has your mind always been like that? Is it just not shut off well?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Would you consider yourself intuitive, like kind of intuitive person yourself, or empathetic person then?
Very empathetic, a little bit intuitive, yes.
Yeah, okay, all right, then that makes sense. Okay, so I would say my immediate thing for you then would be, have you ever done any kind of like a shielding practice type thing where you kind of protect your energy at the beginning of the day or at the evening, at the end of the day as you go to sleep?
I've heard about it. I just need to get into better practice of doing it.
Okay. It's a really super easy practice. For you, what I'm getting is it would be a huge help. Obviously being empathetic and intuitive too, my mind's the same. My joke to my husband is honestly that I wish I could take my brain out of my head at the end of the day and put it like on a holding station where it would just collect all the thoughts and ideas. And then the next morning, you know, like turning your computer back on, you can just pop it back in and be like, all right, and we'll go. Like, so
exactly.
I genuinely understand that. The shield practice would be hugely helpful for you. I would actually add to the shield practice, and I'll tell you about the shield in a second, something I would recommend to you is a micro shield is what I call it. So you do the overall shield, which is completely around your body, and I'll tell you how to do that in a second. And then you put a second shield within that, just around your neck and thyroid area. I would actually also do it at night because I do it first thing in the morning immediately because I think you're picking up a bunch of stuff. So if we're not able to zone in on exactly, all right, you're going to have to write me because there's something 6 to 9 months before you ended up finding about this, and it's going to drive me nuts. Hang on.
Okay.
So you're going to have to write me when it, like, if it happens to hit you at 3 a.m, which I hope it doesn't since I'm trying to help you go to sleep. But the shield, and I'll be happy to send you a shield exercise too. So if you just reach out to me at Tara at TaraMeyerRobson.com, just tell me, you know, just say, hey, you know, I was talking to you tonight and I'll be happy to send this stuff just so you have it. Hopefully it'll help. The way you basically do a shield though, for me, there's all kinds of people that do different kinds. So whatever works for you is totally fine. For you, especially with the stomach stuff, I would say what I like to have people do is take their dominant hand and, so that's the hand you write with, and put it over your solar plexus or stomach, whatever, you know, you want to do. And imagine basically that there's a bright light that is the color of empowerment for you. So it would be color of safety, color of empowerment, something that makes you feel very protected, okay? And I recommend that color can change. So a lot of people will start out with like, I don't know, yellow or whatever, whatever color. It's different for everybody. And then they'll say, well, gosh, it was like a rainbow today. Fine. That means that's what yourself was trying to tell you you needed that day. That was the frequency you needed. And so you imagine that ball of bright light under your hand. And then you imagine that as you inhale, expanding out and up and around your shoulders first and all the way to your knees and all the way to your back, all the way to your front and then up again. So all the way over your head, all the way down under your feet. And I like to have people do it at least a foot over their head and at least a foot, especially for you, a foot under your feet. And I say especially for you because it'll help with grounding you at night to help you sleep.
Okay.
You know, so it's kind of actually pulling it into like the earth energy, so to speak, just down, you know, you're kind of becoming part of that. And then once you're done with sort of putting that all the way around, then you imagine that ball of light moving up, in your case, to your neck area, to where your thyroid is, basically. And I'd like to see a nice ball of light, a little shield that kind of goes right around that section, just that section. That should actually really help your thyroid a great deal. I think what's happening...
Oh, okay.
So it is better now, but I feel like if it's still underactive, my concern is that, I guess the main question I'd ask you, and maybe, you know, you can ask yourself or a journal around it, which is a great thing to do, is where am I still not expressing myself fully, or where am I feeling disempowered around my self-expression? would be the two critical questions for me there. Okay. I would journal. I don't know if you know what stream of consciousness is, but it's basically just writing and just writing everything that comes to your mind, no editing.
Okay.
Then walk away from that for whatever you're writing is. Seriously, walk completely away from it. Don't read it again for 2 days. Then come back and reread it. And oftentimes something will point, like pop out at you where you'll go, aha. Maybe it'll be this thing that happened 6 to 9 months before you're going to get that. So I would say it's around that. I do think there's some adrenal. Hang on a sec. it does feel still like there's some adrenal stuff, but it does feel like maybe the adrenal stuff was first. It's like you got really worn out from a lot of stuff that made you feel like you weren't safe in the world, so to speak, or like things were coming at you. Okay. All right. So I think that happened first is what it feels like.
Okay.
Which is why I would say that shield is so important for you. So I would do that every morning without fail, and most definitely at night. As I say, if you send me a note, I'll get you a shield practice you can listen to. And you know what? I think I'll probably send you two. I've got something called a body scan that allows you to clear everything at the end of each day. That helps hugely to go to sleep. Like, it helps me dramatically to be able to go to sleep. Because I think you're probably picking, because you are empathetic, you're probably picking stuff up as you go around, and you don't even know you're doing it. That's what happens to us. We're like little sponges. So does that all make sense then?
It does. Yes. Thank you so much, Tara.
I'm so glad. Thank you for calling and trusting me to help. And as I said, please reach out and I'll get that stuff to you, and hopefully let's see how that helps, and hopefully we'll pinpoint what is it's bugging. It's like poking my brain. So there's something there. So hopefully we'll get to the bottom of it.
Awesome. Thank you again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for calling.
Blessings.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome. Okay, our next caller is Yvette. And Yvette, you're live.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, Yvette. How are you today?
Hi. I'm good. Gosh, I don't know where to go with this because I have a couple of things going on.
well, you just go for it. We're here. We're ready. You just go for it.
Well, can we take a look at two things?
Yeah, of course. Go right ahead.
So I do have asthma. It comes and goes. It sometimes is really under control when I take certain herbs and I play with that. And then it goes away. And then I'm pretty good at tuning in and see if it's like an anxiety or if it's really an asthma. Like, usually the deal breaker is literally when I get around animals as well. So I'm totally allergic to dogs and cats. So I definitely need
my
inhaler.
Was that for your whole life?
I think, except when I was a little kid, I think I wasn't allergic to cats. And then I realized when I was in middle school or something, I went to a friend's house. They had a dog. I was wheezing a little. I had it fairly under control, but I realized periodically after that, I needed. I seemed to notice I really needed it. I know I need it now for sure.
Okay. Go ahead. We'll just put that in one of the little balls
and
of my brain for a second. Go ahead.
The other thing is, about 5.5 years ago, maybe six. More like five.
Okay.
I was in a workshop. I kind of fell down on my shoulder, and I believe the bone popped out. And it was immediate. There was a lot of hyper energy and a lot of stuff going on in this workshop. And it was kind of the teacher was not a decent human being at the end of the day.
Okay, that's not surprising. I was just about to say something is not good right there. But
yeah,
go
it was
ahead.
Wicked. Lack for a better word, use the East Coast phrase.
Oh, no.
I fell, and then the bone popped out, and then I felt immediate numbness, and then it went away. It was then I had full range of motion for the most part, but now I notice, like, in the last 2 years, some of the fingers will get numb. And then there's some weakness in the muscle. And even though I have full range of motion and absolutely no pain, which is probably unheard of for most people. So I would like to possibly pop that back in or at least whatever is there, so I have like the I can build muscle strength back and get rid of the numbness.
Okay, let's go to that one real quick because I think
that's
let's
important.
Just do that one first.
Okay.
Well, I think they're both important. We can get to both. Let's just nail that one real quick. So
okay.
which shoulder?
It's the left shoulder.
Was it? Okay, left shoulder. Okay. So when it happened exactly, it felt. Did it feel like it popped? So you fell. Describe to me exactly what happened. Okay. Go ahead.
Literally, I was in this workshop and we were doing movement, and I literally slipped. Literally, it was like this. There was the fear that I hadn't felt anything like that in my life. I slipped, and
okay.
I fell, and I was like, I'm going to use the F word, F and traumatized. And I just,
sure.
The girl was there, and she saw my
mm-hmm.
face, and she's like, and she grabbed me really quick, like, are you okay? But she didn't really sense,
mm-hmm.
like, something. I knew she felt something, but there's so much going on in that workshop, but I know it's part
mm-hmm.
of it, well, because
okay.
the teacher wanted to control me, and he was kind of
one
of those woo-woo people, and he was trying to manipulate me, and he couldn't control me, and I think that was probably part of his way of, like, controlling me.
I would say so, but actually, I would agree. But I feel like, actually, especially with it being on the left side. So for me, left side is always either a female in your life, or it has to do with you, or it has to do with, like, the aspect of the feminine aspect of receptivity. So sometimes I see
True.
People, right, that don't, that they're blocked. They've blocked a bunch of reset. You know, they're not allowing things into their life, for the best way to
okay.
say it. So I don't think that was what's going on. So for me, the immediate image I get is like you were taken out at the knees by this particular teacher. But I think the reason that it went like, so it's very much, yeah, it's totally. Okay, so it's very much a trauma situation. Like literally, I think the feeling I get was like you were standing up, almost like you were locking your knees against this teacher, probably with really good reason.
Oh yeah, you're
honestly.
Right. No, everything is point on.
Okay.
And I said to myself, "F
okay.
it." Like I told you, what was going through my head. No, you're right.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
No, I understand. Believe me, those things come out of my mouth too. So,
yeah.
So, although I'm really careful now because I have a toddler and she is repeating everything I'm saying. So. So the immediate image, so the feeling I get, oh boy, yeah, is like you were standing on like a board, like against this guy. And then I wish I knew exactly what he was doing or saying in that moment. Do you happen to remember what he was doing or saying in that moment? Because it's like it bowled you over. It was like so against who you are as a person, whatever it was, that it literally like took you out at the knees. That's the image. That's the thing. That's the words I keep getting. Took you out at the
knees. Well, so there's two components here because it was in a workshop, a 7-day or 6-day, 8-day workshop. And
okay.
he's walking around. And what he used to do, he would like, he would come, I knew he would come to me and touch me like on the shoulder. And in my mind, I said, there was like a couple of days before this happened. I said, don't effing touch me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to touch
that
shoulder.
And my soul was
telling me, you want me to shut up?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. It's just my body is like, I'm actually shaking on the inside right now because it's like not, it's, I don't know what was the deal with this dude, but not
oh,
great.
Oh, no, he wasn't good.
So sometimes I'll start, like, I literally am shaking. So that means not good.
My soul was telling
so
me, but my soul was protecting me.
Yeah, not, I'm just glad you're not there. Let me just say that.
He's dead now, my God.
Okay.
Tears. Yeah, serious.
Okay. Well, all right, okay. Well, at least no more harm, right?
Okay,
Okay, so let's go. So then what happened was numbness. So immediately there was, obviously, I'm sure some pain, but numbness was one of the first things you said, correct?
Limp.
Yeah.
I felt
okay.
limp.
All right.
Immediately.
Okay,
Fuck! What? And
yeah.
Then I had the fear, like so nervous. Then it went away immediately. Then it went away because you know the adrenaline's going on in this workshop and people are like the
mm-hmm.
music is playing and you know and all the stuff mm-hmm. is going on and.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. I know, like as far as that goes. Yeah, okay. So it just feels to me like that, like literally it just dropped right out of you. But for me, the numbness is always shock. So I don't care when, where numbness shows up, and it's like it just totally blew you out and it completely gave you a shock. The fact that it felt like a bone popped out is even more. So
it looked
like
one.
Like,
no, because you can physically – I went to – prior to getting going to a doctor, I went to a doctor. They couldn't even – the chiropractors didn't even know what to do or didn't like – and then my one friend, she touched it. She goes, the bone is out. And like, she touched it. I'm like, oh, yeah. You can physically feel it's out.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the image I get on, it's like, you know, when if somebody was to yank your arm really hard and like dislocate something, that's essentially the energy of it. And I think that's what happened. It's like it pulled apart some aspect of you emotionally is the best way I can say it. It's like it ripped something, so to speak. The fact that your fingers are numb, can you tell me, is it like your outer fingers that get numb?
Well, it's funny because at first, it was one finger. I don't even remember. I think it might have been the thumb. I don't even remember. And then it mostly on the left hand, but then it had moved to the right hand, and then nothing on the left. No, but now it's only on the. I'm sorry. Now it's only on the left hand. And so right now it's like one finger would be kind of stiff or numb, and then the other fingers. It's hard to explain. Then the other fingers get. There might be one or two fingers, and right now there's like four of the fingers. One is completely. It's not completely stiff. I can move it, but then it feels like arthritis, but I know it's not. Because then like a week ago, I noticed it was a month ago, like all the fingers were moving perfectly. And then it came back.
Okay. So it's not, it like goes across your hand. It's not necessarily like one finger or another. It's all, it gets stiff. It's mostly
one finger at a time. Barely, like this is odd where it's like it's not the thumb right now, but it might be the four fingers, except the thumb, but the main finger would be like the ring finger, where it feels the most stiffest right now. But I still can bend it. But then I've been doing some healing on it, and then, but then the other fingers, they have it's like they still have range of motion. It's just a little bit like the one is a little more stiffer.
Gotcha. Okay, so. Like the ring finger immediately, and I think you would gut instinct this, but the ring finger, when it's stiff, it's kind of like you're not processing love or you're not feeling love. Like you can't, either you're feeling like you have to stand up against something in love. But I think because it seems to be related to this, I think, and especially because it's like it moves around your hand, I think there's something about this situation that really feels like it disturbed you on an emotional level. Like it's like it just really upset an emotional balance, so to speak. And I think that's where some of the weakness comes from. It's like you don't feel a full, like you're not feeling a full level of strength in your emotions for whatever reason because of this. So I think my immediate thing for you, you know, one thing that comes up immediately. Have you ever done forgiveness work around this guy? Around
I would say
teacher dude?
Yes, to a point. I would say yes. I did something last week that I forgive you for being a freaking asshole and an idiot. Yeah.
Well, hey, that's truthful. So it's...
Yeah.
So I think, okay. Here's what I would do. I would take some time to sit down, and not just with this guy, but with anybody in your life that you feel like you still have any kind of resentment towards, that you feel like you have not forgiven. And that can even be yourself sometimes, you know, and you might even lump yourself in for whatever. I would take some time to actually literally do some forgiveness rituals around that. The way I recommend that people do forgiveness, because I think, okay, so what it feels like is there's like a burden on your shoulder that is, as I say, it's like this emotional, like a blockage, a breakage, so to speak. And I think it's from this plus maybe some other things that have just gone on that you just maybe hold on to a little bit. So the way I recommend people do forgiveness is literally visualize yourself in a safe space. I don't know if you've ever, are you a visual person? Like if I told you to close your eyes and visualize an apple, could you do that? Would you visualize an apple?
Yes. I could.
Okay. Because if you're not visual, it doesn't help, and I can give you a different way.
Okay.
Okay, so as your visual, I would visualize yourself in some sort of a safe space, whatever that is for you. Okay, so it has to feel like whatever, you know, some people's beach. For me, I have a treehouse I've built in my brain. So you're in that safe space, and then you fill yourself to the brim with loving energy. Whatever color that is for you is great. It can change, as I say. And then what you do is you actually ask anyone into your life, into your safe space, that you still feel like you need to forgive. Okay, so you just invite them into that space in your mind. You imagine that you still have a cord. It can be a chain. It can be a ribbon. It depends. Sometimes, you know, it's a thread. So it's like something really minor you can just let go of. Sometimes, like, I've had people visualize, like, rebar practically. It's such a bad connection to that person. And then what you do is you actually say to that person whatever you feel like you need to say. And then you hear back from them what you feel like they need to say. And you know, and you can also say, I don't want to hear anything from you. That's also totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then you literally look at the person. You say, I forgive you and I forgive myself. You can say, I forgive myself for my part in this, whatever works for you.
Okay.
And then you actually see yourself cutting whatever that cord is between the two of you.
Okay.
And then see that person literally just fade back away out of your safe space. Okay.
Okay.
And when you're done with that, which should feel pretty good, then you just want to, again, see yourself totally cleansed with this loving, unconditionally loving energy all the way around you. Because this is tends to be on your left shoulder, I would also like extra put some on the left shoulder just as general things. See how that works. I think that might really, really significantly help because I actually think the asthma, just to relate that quickly, I think the asthma is also a feeling that you can't fully take in life itself
mm-hmm.
because of maybe some burdens that are kind of sitting on your chest. So I think actually this forgiveness exercise will be able to help you with both. And I know we've got other callers on the line, so please feel free to just reach out to me and I'll also help a little bit more with the asthma, but I think it's related to the same kind of emotional issues that I think the shoulder is related to, actually.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, yeah. And as I say, please do reach out to me, okay?
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Yvette.
Thank you.
God bless, Yvette.
Bless you.
I think we should mention to the callers, we're not going to be able to get to all of you. In fact, we'll just probably talk to one more. Tara is offering a discount on the healing session. If you contact her at Tara at TaraMeyerRobson.com and put in David in capital letters and 20, is that correct? Is that how they should do
it? Yeah, yep. Yeah, that's perfectly fine. You can also do it if you want to book. You can book online under the healing session too. But I'm just as happy to have people reach directly out to me. So.
Okay, great. All right. Well, let's move on to Catherine. And Catherine, you're live.
Hi.
Thank you. Hi, Catherine. How are you tonight?
Good, thank you. And yourself?
Just fine. Just fine. I'm really glad to be able to connect with people. So what can I help you with tonight?
I was wondering, can I ask about somebody else if I ask about their situation? Could you give some guidance for them?
I can. The only thing that I usually try to be really careful of is I don't like to kind of go into other people's energy fields unless they have expressly given me that. So I can probably give you some insight, but I will probably not totally, you know, try to connect with them energetically. So if that's okay with you, I can probably give you some insight.
Yes, okay. Yeah, it's for my mom. Yeah, she would welcome this if she doesn't really
speak very well.
Okay,
that sounds great. I just am really careful.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just an ethics thing with me that I'm just super careful about it, that's all.
Yeah.
Ahead, Catherine.
She has like a calcification on her left leg that gives her problems sometimes, like hip leg area, the hip more so on the hip
and leg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
And how long has she had this?
About 15 years.
Okay, and it's left. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and And when you say calcification, so we're talking hard deposits, right? Like real hard deposits.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. The doctor said it was so much so that it usually is on a man that much of a concentration.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay. All right. So is there pain that goes along with this as well then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what does the pain feel like? Can you tell me? Do you happen to know?
Like she can't walk sometimes. It'll mm-hmm. make her, you know, when she can walk, it'll make mm-hmm. her like walk really slow. But it's like a deep pain.
Deep. Yeah, yeah. Okay, that makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
And sort of an aching then, like an aching deep type situation.
Right, right. Like she'll need like a massage or, you know,
mm-hmm.
cream or Tylenol.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So actually this is one that I've encountered. You'd be surprised. I've actually encountered this one more than once. So the calcification is literally hard emotional scars. Okay. So that's there. It's what ends up happening is our body. So if you think about what happens when you cut a finger or cut your skin, then of course your body starts to heal it. And sometimes it heals it right as like a scar. So we end up having scar tissue. The same thing tends to be true with emotional wounds as well. Although when I see calcification, it means that it's deep and it means that it is extremely longstanding, often from childhood. So it's usually stuff that has come up from a long time ago. Because it's her left side, it's going to be probably a female in her life let me think for a second. So it seems pretty longstanding. Does that make sense right off? Or
Her mom passed when she was 17.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, it's deep scars, so it's definitely from. I mean, it just feels like usually when I see this level of calcification on that side, it's usually really super long standing. So it's usually from like childhood. So that would fit. That would fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
Deep aching is heartache, but that tells me it's from a very long time ago. However, there could have been some things that kind of triggered it a little bit more. I actually feel like that would have been in the. Hang on one sec. Let me look through it. So that would have been in the between, like, it feels like 2 to 3 years prior to her feeling like this kind of came on in addition. So there might have been something additional that maybe triggered some more heartache, maybe about not having her mom or more deep heartache over something like that from childhood. The hip for me, so you can take a look, you know, what does the hip do? The hip obviously helps us to move forward. It's a stabilizer for our spine. The leg obviously, again, allows us to move forward, right? Move forward in life. So when people have that pain that's that bad in the hip, it's really around them feeling they can't move forward because of these old emotional wounds. Having it that deeply, that much calcification tells me this is long, 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 long. Like it's layers of this. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, because she's had like a tumultuous time with her family and the females especially.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. That's it. Right. Like it's a ding, ding, ding. Okay, that's usually when I deal with the hip, it is almost always the original family. Okay, and so it can occasionally be the spouse depending on the situation, but almost always the original family. And that it's more than one female, now we've got it for sure. So it's literally emotional wound over emotional wound over emotional wound. And it's like scarring over top. And she's having to kind of like keep trying to move forward when she's got all this junk, okay? So actually some of the forgiveness stuff I just talked to Yvette about would be of huge benefit to your mom. Oh, wow. Also, there would be a couple other things I could think of that might be super helpful for her too. So if you want to reach out to me, I mean, if she's open to this kind of stuff, I could probably send her a couple of things that, or send you a couple of things you could offer to her that might be of benefit, because I think she can literally break through this. I mean, that's what it's going to take, is like breaking it off, so to speak, because
wow.
It's so layered.
Yeah.
So I think
yeah.
It's just layers of forgiveness right now, and layers of, I just feel like she just doesn't feel like she got any support at all from her family. Like, I just don't feel like there's a lot of support there. So she's had to support herself. And anyways,
oh, you got it.
That's,
wow, you're
yeah,
amazing.
That's what, mm-hmm. Oh, well, I really, I appreciate you just trusting me this. I know this stuff, it's, you know, the thing that gets me through the day is like being able to help people. So I'm delighted when
that's
I can.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Hopefully, yeah. Well, you too. Well, hopefully this has helped. Please mm-hmm. reach out to me, you know, on my email address, and just, you know, tell me I'm Catherine from the call, and I will get her a couple other things that I think might really help her. As I said, I've seen this more than once, and it is possible to reverse. It just takes some work.
Wow. Thank you. Yes. Thank you so very much. I will reach out
yeah.
to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You.
Thank you so much for bringing this. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Blessings to you both. Thank you.
You too.
Thank you for calling, Catherine.
Thank
do you want to take
you.
One more call?
Yeah.
Or do you think?
Sure.
Okay.
No, I'm happy to do it.
Lucky
Deanna. I'm happy to do it.
Deanna,
oh,
you're
my goodness.
Five.
I didn't
yep.
expect that. So wonderful.
Hi, Deanna.
You're so empathic and kind.
Oh, no. Glad to do it. Trust me. You just, it makes me happy to help people. So you tell me.
I
so what,
know.
So what's going on?
I can't
on?
Tell you. Well, I don't know that I feel, to tell you. But there's something in my upper chest. Up.
Okay.
And
gotcha.
It's like a big knot. And I don't know what
uh-huh.
it is, and I am tending to it, you know, slowly, and trying to release tension. I think
yeah,
it's...
Okay, yeah. It feels... okay, go ahead.
I think it is because I've had 10 or 12 years of extreme pressure, and
mm-hmm.
Something
mm-hmm.
just grew there, and,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what it is, and...
okay, it's really a big, it's like it presses, right? It's like a pressing. Like when you inhale, what's going on? Like, how does that feel?
No, nothing bad with it when I inhale.
Oh, it feels like a pressure to me. Okay, so.
Pressure it is, but not when I inhale.
Not when you inhale.
I think it's something
okay,
growing
it's just...
there. Yeah, no, something is growing.
Yeah, it just feels like a pressure. So I think maybe what I'm picking up is that it's like you can't fully take in. Oh yeah, it's like an emotional wound that's kind of causing you to not feel like you can fully take in life, so to speak. Tell me exactly where it's located. Exactly, like.
Okay, it's above the heart on the left side,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Before the curvature of the breast.
Yeah, okay. That's an emotional wound that almost feels like a betrayal.
Heartbreak.
Yeah.
Super big heartbreak. Many betrayals,
yeah, did you,
yes.
Did you feel betrayed? You felt betrayed, right? Like deeply betrayed?
Oh, if couldn't be any more profound.
Okay. All right. That's what I'm getting then. That's the, it's like
it's
I can't
not
quite
a love
take
situation.
It in.
Yeah,
it's
no,
not a right.
Love
situation.
I don't think
it is. Uh-uh.
No.
Okay. No. So was it, it's a female in your life then that betrayed you?
Well, among them, yes. But it was, how can I say this? You know, we're in public. It was a betrayal of trust.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
so huge,
mm-hmm.
and the counteraction, which would have been by the authorities,
mm-hmm.
was never supportive. Even
ooh,
though
yeah, it's not good.
I, even though not only did I deserve it, but I am well known to them as a participant.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, it just feels like it's a really, yeah, it's a big wound. That's not a great one. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean it's a deep wound.
So I know it is.
It's fine. I just mean it's deep. When I say it's not a great one, I just mean that's a heavy, heavy feeling. It's like a lot. And I think that's why I'm getting the pressure. It's like there was a lot of pressure around this situation. Okay. Have you had it checked out? I mean, one thing I would recommend.
I am doing it.
Have you had it,
yeah,
checked out? Okay.
I am
would
doing
definitely.
It. I'm on the,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was not just betrayal, but huge loss.
Yeah.
And the onslaught of undeserved shame. And I'm getting over it, but I'm not getting over it great. Whenever I stretch my arms, mm-hmm, as if I were dancing ballet and slowly, it feels better because it's like a huge knot.
No, it's like a gripping. It's like wound,
yeah,
into you. It's like braided into you or something. I don't know how.
Yes.
It's like,
yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So what needs to happen is you've got to unwind the fabric of that, so to speak. So it's like it's trying to. How do I describe that exactly?
Crush me.
Well, crush, but it's more, okay, so the feeling I get is, like, the image I actually get, and it's going to sound so weird, is, like, of a French braid, which I know sounds weird, but I think what it's trying to show me is, like, that it's, like, braiding into your emotional state and into your heart, or it has, in fact, braided, like, it's braiding around that, so it's almost, it's like you've got to unwind what has happened and be able to deal with the grief around that. Actually, my immediate thought for you, aside from definitely having it checked out by a doctor, is,
mm-hmm,
I would go to, have you ever gone to like a grief counselor?
No, and I'm not able to do that right now.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely,
okay,
that would be a good idea. It feels like it's about to tear. You know,
mm,
like when you're stretching fabric so much and it just tears.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
But I'm in a good mood and I am, you know, quite faithful and hopeful and trusting.
Oh,
and
yeah, yeah. No.
I'm believing in miracles.
You can get through this. Okay, so let's start there. You can get through this. You can deal with this. You're going to be fine. Just what I immediately would like to see for you. It's like you literally need to grieve these betrayals on a very deep level. And I think by grieving them, it feels like it'll unwind or unbraid, I guess. I don't know how else to describe. I know it sounds so strange, but that's what it feels. It's like braided. It may be knotted, so I guess that's what you're saying. But it's like, anyway, so I would say for you, it's really important for you. It's like you've got to reclaim your heart from this situation, like the heart of who you are, the heart of yourself, your trust in the world. And I think the only path to that is grieving, and but through grief you can release the betrayal and what's happened. Okay, so one of the images
I'll try the grief counselor.
Yeah, even if you can, there's got to be great, and I'm sorry I don't have one to refer you to, but there's have to be, like, even great grief books out there. And if you could maybe work through a grief program, if you can't get to a grief counselor right now, and maybe just get something off Amazon that has a lot of good recommendations for grief, that might be good. The other image I just got for you, like, it's going to sound strange, but it's almost like you need to do a funeral from this experience. Like,
yeah.
Like, I know that sounds weird, but it's...
No, it doesn't. I understand. It's,
okay.
It's a ritual. It's a ritual.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
we are,
like,
you know,
ritual.
We are people of rituals.
Yeah. It's that. It's the image I get is like of... It's like a cremation type. Like, you need to do a release, even if it's maybe, you know, writing everything down and literally doing almost like a funeral type thing. You stick it in like a chimera or some other safe space where or a fireplace where you can literally burn this. Maybe write down.
I'm in
down.
Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I wanted to share with you is one of the images I have is a religious image. It's the picture of the Virgin Mary, the entire of knots. the one who unties the knots.
There you go.
The Pope is,
okay.
is like his her biggest devotee, the Pope. And in Argentina and in Germany, we're very big on those things. And it is virgin
sure.
surrounded by angels who is untying the knots.
Okay.
Many, many knots.
Then,
I'll send David
fantastic.
A photo. He can share it with you.
That would be great. Then, okay. So I would then, since that's a powerful image for you, I would then use that image and use that maybe however you normally connect to the Virgin Mary, however you feel like is appropriate for you. I would use that and ask her and really try to do some grief work and releasing work around that. And I think asking for that perhaps as you call, intercession. I grew up Catholic, so intercession, that kind of thing there might be super helpful for you. But I do think the additional thing, and in fact, ask the Virgin Mary to be there through this as you might in a funeral. But I would actually write out all your feelings around this entire situation, this deep betrayal. Write it out. Write every bit of it out. Write out everything you need to say. I'm certain there are words you still need to speak to people, whether or not you can speak them, obviously. And then I would literally do a ritual, whether it's just burying it in the backyard or burning it in like a bonfire or something, even outside. And let it, like literally set aside a time to let it go, actually let it go from your life, and literally bury it. That's the image I get, is that that's really necessary.
I understand, and I feel that probably I have not been able to cry about this, and this is the knot that it has become.
Yes. Okay, so that's exactly it. That's where it's been turned in, where it's a knot, and you're holding it all together, but you're still holding on to aspects. And it's like, and that's probably the funeral aspect. It's like you need to just grieve, release, and really let this go, bury this from you, because it's inside you, and that's no good. Nobody wants that. So that would be my recommendation right off the bat. Definitely do, reach out to me and let me know how things are going with that.
I will.
Definitely also just get it checked out. It doesn't feel...
Oh, no, I got to go back to the doctor next week. I've been for the last 2 weeks once. I couldn't go there today, but no, I'm definitely going the Western medicine way and acupuncture.
Just to get it,
get it checked. I cannot cry. That's at least, not really. And I intellectualize every emotion, so,
Yeah, this is, right now, it's like this deep emotional wound. And I think if you let yourself grieve, I think you're going to re-empower yourself. I think your heart's going to open back up. And I think you're going to see a real positive shift. So I think that's the key for you. I'm actually now interested because I'm going to look up some grief books. But so if you reach out to me and I find some that it seems like they're good, I'll certainly send them off to you too.
I'll send them the photo. And I spoke the last time you were here. I'm the interpreter, so I'm always in the middle and intervening, mediating in a way. And I swallow the emotions of the two or three or more parties that are involved and at issue in a dispute. Mm-hmm. So it's a great profession, but at the same time, not if you don't clean or clear or, however it is called, let it go.
Yep. Let it go, clear it. No, clean and clear would be both great words for that. So I think if you do that, I really think you're going to bring a lot of power back to yourself and a lot of relief from the pressure. Because now it's like, I feel like, because when you first started talking, I literally felt like it was heavy pressure, like I couldn't quite breathe properly. That's why I think it's emotional pressure from all this.
I hope you write a book on shame, because shame is the most corrosive, the most destructive emotion, and not because I'm guilty of having done anything. No, shame because of the embarrassment. It's it's really caustic.
It's so caustic, and I'm so glad you said that. So now I'm going to add that. But that is very
caustic. I hope you write it.
Perhaps I will also write an article this week because I've been looking for inspiration, and there you go. That's a good inspiration for an article. So thank you.
Thank you. And I'm going to kiss the
Grief
and say goodbye to the, like, Gone with the Wind, like the Tara there.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, that's how people in the South remembered my name. When we lived in the South, that's how they remembered my name. It was Gone with the Wind.
Thank you, David. I appreciate you every week. Every week.
You're welcome. Thank you, Deanna. All right. Well, God bless you. We're going to call it a wrap right there, and my apologies to the other callers. It's wonderful that you called in, and I will have Tara back on the show, but consider taking advantage of her special. And there's yet another caller. No, they can't get in after 8:30. So, Tara, thank you so much. It really has been a joy to have you on.
Of course. Yep, it's always a joy to be here. I thank you so much for sharing your listener base with me, too, and the wonderful people who've trusted us to call in, too. That's a real honor. So,
yes,
for anybody that's still on the line, tell them I guess I can tell them. They can certainly write in, too, if they had, a question that they'd like to ask and they didn't get a chance to. I'm happy to take a look at those. So.
Okay. Well, that is Tara at TaraMeyerRobson.com. So, Tara, thank you so much. And at this point, we're going to come to a close. So let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night and God bless.